And we're back with another episode of Rethink Real Estate. Today, what we're going to be going through is what happens if the auction doesn't sell. Now, again, I go through many different facets of this, and it's not just simply a straightforward answer. We start off with, what's your perception of a failed auction? That's where it starts. And then we lead through making sure that we're comparing what we believe is a successful auction versus where would the property be if it was a traditionally listed property. I say this on the podcast, but I'll say it again. If you've done enough real estate transactions, there would be a few times, maybe many, many times, that the traditional process hasn't sold your listing. And yet you've listed the next one as a traditional one. So if an auction is a so-called perceived failure or it doesn't sell, then why would you feel reluctance doing another? It's got to be a process. It's got to be a tool in the tool belt. Hope you enjoy. Welcome to Rethink Real Estate. My name is Ben Brady, and this is a real estate podcast aimed to deliver sales strategies, marketing tips, and business insights from industry experts and myself to build a listing-focused business for the future. Let's get into it. Welcome to Rethink Real Estate, folks. Now, today, we're going to be going through one of the topics that certainly is, I think, a barrier to entry for a lot of people trying auction is their perception of a failed auction. And we're going to talk about, well, what if it doesn't sell? And meaning that if it doesn't sell at auction, all of that type of stuff. Now, I think that just to reiterate something that we've already been through a number of times, if you are an avid auction follower or you're doing auctions or you're interested in doing them, is that making sure that you manage your expectation of what the perception of a successful auction really is. Most people think that it's registered bidders everywhere out the front of a property on auction day, live bidding, going rapid fire, that it's going to be this absolutely manic event and there's people absolutely everywhere and they're bidding and bidding and bidding and bidding and it fully exceeds somebody's expectations or gets somebody way more than what a property is actually really worth. I just want you to understand that curbing that expectation from the very beginning is so important from an agent perspective anyway. If you're an owner, at the end of the day, you've got to have those aspirations of more, but we want you to be realistic. But from an agent's perspective is that, let's be honest, how many times have you gotten somebody to overpay for a property, right? The other part about it as well is that you've got to manage your expectations in the sense that the most important part about an auction or the most successful element is getting to the end outcome of the property entering escrow. That's the main outcome here. Now, whether that happens before auction, whether it happens on the day of auction, or whether it happens very shortly after, you've got to keep in mind that it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, these are only individual parts of the process. And I use that word process as we tick through it in order to go through a process of elimination with the sellers, in order to actually get buyers comfortable or get a seller price at a correct value. Most people's expectation of the auction is that it's for sale by magic and it's going to cure any problem that they have with that piece of real estate, regardless of whether it backs onto a freeway or it's got property defects or the seller's expectations are just out of line. Realistically, I believe that a successful outcome of auction is sometimes for an agent realizing a poor investment of your time in a quicker time frame. That can be a success. So understanding and managing our expectations of success, don't get me wrong, there is nothing better than having multiple bidders on an auction, going through our live auction format, calling the auction and selling it under the hammer. There is nothing better and exceeding somebody's expectations. But in order to exceed somebody's expectations, you have to manage them from the very onset. And this is about managing our own when it comes to the auction process. So let's talk about you. Let's paint a picture or go through a scenario is that you've gone through and you've listed a property as an auction. In the lead up for the 3 or 4 weeks leading up to auction, the property doesn't sell prior to auction day. We get to auction day. You might not even have any registered bidders on auction day. You may have registered bidders and it falls short of where the seller ultimately wants it to be. We've got to keep in mind that the purpose of this process, and I use the word process on a consistent basis while I continue to talk about what if it doesn't sell. Realistically, we've got to measure the one thing that we measure from a consistency perspective of what a seller wants versus what they want at the end of the auction. Now, there's no doubt that at the moment, certainly as we film this podcast episode, that there is quite a large gap in what the market is willing to pay and what a seller is willing to accept. If a property is not sold within the first 2 weeks, the likelihood is that that property will sit on the marketplace for many weeks afterwards. And that lack of momentum means that then you don't have the leverage elements in order to actually negotiate the best outcome for the sellers. Now, with auction, it brings leverage back into the equation. But where I'm going with this is that let's say that it hasn't sold before auction and it hasn't sold on auction day. So let's say we're 4 weeks into our auction process. Let's keep in mind and let's take a relative understanding of this as well. And this is up for the auction team to make sure they discuss it with your sellers if you're looking to do auctions, and absolutely something that you'll get to understand as well. But let's give the perception. You're 4 weeks into a process, okay? In 4 weeks, you've found out that maybe the seller's expectations aren't quite aligned with the marketplace because, one, even at the bidding to start from price, which is a lower list price on the property, lower than what the seller wants, lower than what the property is worth, it is a dramatically lower price that even at that price point, you've either got offers that they all sort of come and accumulate within a one place, or you don't have any offers at all. And even at that bidding to start from price, you can't provoke the market. That should speak louder than words in this sense. That should speak louder than words. Now, in that moment, you have an opportunity to take that information and do what with it? Take the information and educate your client on the marketplace. Give them the information that they need in order to make an informed and educated decision. Give you a scenario, for example, is that at the moment we have a property in Southern California. I won't say where the location is because it becomes a little bit too obvious at this point, but realistically is that that property itself, okay, at the moment has 9 preemptive offers, 9. Okay. Bidding to start from on this property is 2 million. Seller's expectation is over 3 million. And we have 9 offers on the property. Every single one of those offers ranges between $2.5 and $2.6 million. Now, at these sort of price categories, people have the flexibility. Now, out of the 9 offers, okay, we've got about 7 of them that have the flexibility to go over 3 million if they wanted to. They're financially well off. A lot of people are all cash at the moment because if they're purchasing, the interest rates, all of that type of stuff. So they have the flexibility to go more, but they're not. So in turn, what does that say? Is that with those 9 offers, what we're going to do, we're going to register those people to bid. Okay. And we're going to put them into the auction situation. And in the auction situation, the live transparent arena, they're going to say, people often say, oh, well, the people don't want to go to auction. Nobody actually wants to go to auction and compete to buy a property. They always threaten that. And if they're not willing to register to bid and go through a live transparent arena where they get to have the final say that is actually more beneficial to them, you've got to be able to walk away from that. You've got to turn it away and go, hey guys, if you don't want an opportunity to purchase this property, no problem at all. We will sell it to somebody else. Thanks so much. So leading into this is that with that information, we're about 2 more weeks out from auction at this point. We know from that initial reaction from the marketplace that we need to use this information to educate our client. We know we have to do that. So again, evidence defeats disbelief. So we're going to keep providing them with the evidence. Evidence, evidence, evidence. Okay? In order to then continue to have the discussions with them. Too often people shy away in the moment that they have an actual conversation of substance around what a seller wants is at the moment that they've got an offer in hand that's relatively close to where they need the seller to be. That's the wrong time to do it. You need to use the information in order to give them that information the entire way through and allow them to be part of that journey. So, for example, at the moment, what we've offered that seller the opportunity to do is that we've said, look, this is well short from where you want, which is over $3 million. Would you like to go back to the marketplace traditionally, put your list price on it of $3.1 million, okay, and see if you can provoke any interest at that level? They said no because they've already previously been at that and they haven't been able to sell the property at that level. So, realistically, is that this is the evidence in the market. So, again, this property probably is edging forward to not being a successful auction or what you call a successful auction because most people define it as, again, multiple registered bidders and all of that type of stuff. Now, we could get multiple registered bidders on this property, okay, and we can take it down that path, but the only people that are going to feel good at the end of the day is myself as the auctioneer and maybe the agent, because we got bidding on a property. Doesn't mean that we're going to bring the hammer down. It just looks like good activity at that time. So again, if the property doesn't sell before auction and it doesn't sell on auction day, what happens after? Again, that is going to be measured by you. My question to an agent, and again, this happens more regularly than what you probably think, or maybe it might be just as regularly as you think it does, is that an agent turns around after the auction and it doesn't have any registered bidders, or we do have registered bidders and doesn't get a price the seller wants, they go, oh, that was a failure. The thing that I need to make sure that we're doing is that we're drawing a parallel between what would have happened traditionally and what has happened with auction. So my question often is to an agent is that, well, guys, you were at a list price of $3.1 million. This has been 4 weeks, and now your seller is willing to accept maybe $285, $29. That's an incredible reduction that you can go back to the marketplace with, and we can price the property at $2899 and hopefully get a successful result. If you were a traditional listing right now, where would you be? Absolutely nowhere, because they said that they weren't going to reduce the price, hence the reason you came through the auction process. Now, all of this needs to be drawn into the conclusion of where would you be if you were traditionally listed? It's like the analogy that I use on a constant basis with agents as well. Is they're like, oh, the auction was a failure, I'm not going to do another one of those. Well, what's your perception of a failure? Oh, well, we didn't sell the property. I'm like, well, if you've been doing real estate long enough and you've done enough transactions, there would be plenty of traditional listings that you've never sold. Well, yeah. So why did you do another traditional listing? Why wouldn't you give the process of auction another turn in that situation? In order to educate your client, in order to provoke the market, in order to have leverage to negotiate further. So these are all relative questions, but getting back to the primary point, what happens if it doesn't sell? That depends on you and what you want to do at that point. I'll give you an example of this property at the moment that I'm talking about in reference. They want $3.1 million for the property. They've already come down based on the offers to $2,850,000. Okay, their expectations is where they are. $2,850,000, and that's been in the space of a two-week journey that we're in at the moment. We've still got another 2 weeks to go to auction, and they've already come down to that as a realization. So I believe that's an immediate success. We could stop the auction right now and put it back on as a traditional listing, and I believe the auction has worked. Now, keep in mind, I'm biased. You've got to take what I'm saying with a grain of salt. If this doesn't make logical sense in your brain, then hey, look, maybe this isn't for you. But that said, is that let's say that we go through to auction and it doesn't get the end result. We can postpone the auction. We allow one postponement for up to 2 weeks where we might need a little bit more time. Now, why would we postpone an auction when we don't have a great deal of interest or it didn't get the price that the seller wants? That really depends on us at that particular point. Is the seller's expectation changed enough that I can go out with a list price that I believe in? If the answer is no, you need to run that property back through the filtration system. The way I want you to think about the auction process, I want you to think about a water filtration system. It has all of the different layers in order to filter out any of the bad stuff. There's unpurified water that goes in at the top, and as the way it and by the time it trickles all the way down through it, okay, is that then we hit to the point of purification. Sometimes simply one run through that water filtration system isn't enough for that water. It needs to go back through again. That's the way that I want you to think about auction. You put a listing where a seller might want too much or might not be the greatest property in the world. You put it through and it purifies it on the way through, whether it be seller's expectations, whether it be casting a better net into the marketplace with auction and drawing people's interest in, giving you a negotiation up from a price. But all in all, the purification at the end of it isn't a sale. It's the seller's expectation in line with the marketplace, or it could be a realization of bad investment of your time. That's the nature of what this is. A lot of agents use this as their own purification process with their inventory to know that if the seller's not willing to listen or accept, then, hey, look, I need to hand the listing back. But all of this comes down to, and all of this stems to also a lot of questions that we get. Well, what will buyers' perception be? All of that stuff. We actually see, we get about a 51% more volume of interest on a property that goes through the auction process, volume of people through the front door, even if it's been traditionally listed. That's in, that's across wherever you do auctions in North America. Now, that said, is it post-auction? We are still getting between 20 and 30%, depending on where you are, 20 to 30% more people that call and inquire and ask about the property, because it goes from a bidding to start from price that's really, really low to then putting a list price on the property. One thing that you don't typically see is prices going up, and prices going up to that extent. So a lot of the times it provokes phone calls. I say this all the time. You may be the best realtor in the world, but if you don't have anyone to speak to, you are absolutely hopeless for your clients. Is that even therefore you get calls. Hey, why was it at this and now it's at this? Oh, it was a non-distress auction. Right, but well, does that mean that the seller's desperate? No, no, no. What it actually means is that they had a non-disclosed reserve that if it wasn't met, they weren't obligated to sell. So what we did, we just compiled all of the feedback that we got throughout the process, and we've priced the property effectively now at a price that we know the property is worth in today's marketplace from real unedited feedback from the market. So guys, I hope that this has given you a little bit of an insight to that. What if the property sells? The end outcome of all of this is totally up to yourself. We need to compare it with traditional real estate about where would we be at this point. I've compared it on this podcast before that within a 4-week time frame, we've seen price expectations adjust from them being able to see it and the volume of evidence that we've been able to give and the third party being the auction team involved. We've had them adjust 100% more than what a traditional listing would go through. Keep in mind at the moment, and this is doesn't change that much regardless of the marketplaces that we've seen in North America, first price reduction isn't really enough. Second price reduction, by the time you do it, it's a 4 to 6 week gap because most people are avoiding conflict and you've probably overpromised in the beginning. So therefore, the second price reduction isn't enough and it's too little too late. So you've got to drop it a third time. And by that time, you're 6, 8, 10, 15, 20 weeks into this and the seller just absolutely hating on you. This is your opportunity to purify your listings in a quicker frame. And a successful auction is not about whether or not we get to throw the hammer down. It makes me feel great as an auctioneer. It's about whether or not we can get them in line with the marketplace in a quicker fashion and allow them to either move on and sell their property for a price the market's willing to pay, or keep it and make a decision to keep it and make a decision to stay there, and for you not to pour yourself into that listing any further. And I know a lot of people carry guilt when they're not selling a listing for their sellers as well. Hopefully this has been a decent enough insight, guys. Thanks so much for tuning in. So about 75% of our audience hasn't liked, followed, or subscribed to our podcast. It would mean the world to us, and it would help this podcast more than you know to expand our reach if you were to like, follow, or subscribe on any of the platforms that you're watching or listening on. Thanks again.